It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it all every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuned into Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a great lineup for you this evening. To use my co-host's terms, we got a plethora of topics to talk about this evening. Can't wait to dive into it. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about we're going to do an e-segment. I'm putting up $25 to the winner. I'm taking on all challengers. I am the reigning champion. So if you're willing and you're able and you're bold enough, call in and let's get it on. With all that being said, let me bring in my co-host, Mr. E. Scott. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, I'm good. What's going on, K-Walk?
All is well. All is well, man. All is well. I can't complain for the most part. But nonetheless, E, let's dive right into it, man. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about, man. We got the free agency, NFL free agency to talk about. We got Tom Brady coming out of, I don't know if you want to call it retirement. He changed his mind. I don't know what you want to call that, E. Deshaun Watson is pretty much out of, not so much out of the woods, but it looks pretty good. He's seeing the light at the end of the forest, if you will. Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield. Talk about Colin Kaepernick as well. A lot of messed up, as I stated earlier, a plethora. So with all that being said, let's dive right into it. E, I want to talk about Mr. Tom Brady, man. Tom Brady is back. He's come out and said that he's returning to the Buccaneers. Your thoughts, your initial reaction when you first heard this, did you think it was fake news? Did you think it was once you realized it was something real, or if you realized when it was real? Do you see this Buccaneers team being a legitimate contender? Because there's a lot of guys out there, man, that they want to come back, but you know, some of them they weren't able to obtain or retain, I should say. But give me your thoughts and opinions on Tom Brady's return.
Initially, the first thing I thought was fake news, that the very onslaught
right.
of the thing. But once I realized it was real, I narrowed it down to Tom just being Tom. And by that, I mean taking less money and having money to spread around the sign of the guys, because he had a roster bonus that was coming up of $15 million. So I think what he did was say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and retire. I won't take the $15 million. Y'all can use that money to sign some other guys, and then I'll come back. You know, hindsight is 20/20, but looking back on it, I think that was the plan all along. I don't think he ever planned to retire, because, you know, a couple of years ago, he came out and said he wanted to play till he was 45.
Right.
That goal is attainable and very much within reach. I don't see why he would give it up then. You know, then. And, you know, he won a Super Bowl, and last year they made a pretty good run. I mean, they did another 28-3 comeback that just came up a little short. So, yeah, I think this was the plan all along. You know, use that fit. He's not greedy like some quarterback, Drew Brees, take all the money, then we can't sign anybody else. He said, no, look, my wife got plenty of money. I got checks over there in the drawer. We ain't even cash. So, yeah, y'all go ahead and keep your little $15 million. Sign some other people, and I'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, great point there, man. I never looked at it from that aspect, E. So that's a great point there. I didn't realize he had that $15 million roster bonus. But like you stated, man, that's something that's what separates Tom Brady, not just from, you know, the on-field stuff, but the off-field stuff as far as, you know, him, you know, looking at, you know, I know that I can only do so much. I'm at this certain age, and I can only do so much. I need guys around me. You know, I need a guy, you know, my left guard, my left tackle, whatever the case may be, watching my back, defense, we got to get these guys in here that will be able to allow me to do my job, because I'm not one of those quarterbacks who's going to be able, even though he probably could, you know, as far as the receiving aspect of it goes, but he needs that defense. You know, he needs those guys, you know, like he had in New England. You know, he had the Edelmans, you know. He didn't have those big-name guys. Of course, he had Gronk. Gronk is a big-time guy, his safety blanket there. But, you know, if you look at his frame of work, he never really had a big-time receiver. He had Randy Moss, but it wasn't the Minnesota Viking Randy Moss that he had. But he still had a decent Randy Moss nonetheless. But he's still dealing with those guys like, you know, like an Edelman and you know, the Gronk.
Amendola.
Exactly. Yeah,
you
all those guys.
You know,
yeah.
Sad white boys. Don Beebe.
Don Beebe, yes, right, exactly. So he's smart in that aspect, and I respect the heck out of this guy. I really thought I hoped that he was going to come back, because he said unfinished business. And there was a lot of talk saying that, you know, he wanted to play for the 49ers before his career was over. So when I first heard that, that's the first thing that went to my mind. And I had put it in our thread, too. I was like, oh, he's going to the 49ers. You know, he worked out something with John Lynch or something like that. Just a little kid in the candy store, if you will, just putting on my wish list, my Christmas list. But obviously, he came back. He's going to be a Buck, and they're going to try to bring the gang back together as much as they possibly can. A lot of guys said that, oh, okay, I'm out. Like Leonard Fournette said, he's done. Thank you. And then when he heard Brady coming back, he deleted that tweet. Gronk is still, you know, he's up in the air. Gronk is probably going to come back. More than likely, he will. Tom is going to, you know, talk him into coming back. But let me ask you this, E, from a receiving standpoint, man, because, you know, you do have Mike Evans. He's healthy, coming into camp. You're hoping Chris Godwin's going to be healthy. He's coming off of that ACL injury. Your thoughts on the receiving core here, man, and do you think it's going to be enough, and what more do they need in order for the Tampa Bay and Tom Brady to make a serious run at being a Super Bowl contender?
Well, they got your boy Miller to go along with Godwin and Evans. Now, losing A.B., you know, say what you want about A.B. off the field, but A.B. is a hell of a football player. And
yes,
those
sir.
Are really big shoes to fill. Now, I don't know if Miller can fill them alone, but maybe slot receiver by committee. I think they do need to bring somebody else in, or they may have somebody else, but I don't really follow them that close. But offensively, if you got Mike Evans, you got a healthy Godwin, and you got a healthy Gronk with the backfield they got, yeah, I think they can still make a run. In the regular season, they can't seem to beat the Saints. But, you know, hey, they can do what they do.
Yeah, we're definitely going to dive into your face. I got some good stuff for you there. Good questions, I would like to think. But, yeah, I agree. Scotty Miller is that guy, man. He could really make a difference. He's that type of receiver that fits that Tom Brady mold. We mentioned the Wes Welkers, the Amendolas, and the Julian Edelman. He fits that type of receiver that Tom Brady, you know, tends to love, to fall in love with. And I think any quarterback would love that, you know, those slot receivers who can go across the middle, those crossing routes and create separation, you know, on the D-backs or linebackers, who's ever covering them, and, you know, get upfield, get a first down. So, yeah, I like this. I'm going to – it's early in free agency. It just ended at, 4 p.m., 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So right now it's all about, you know, trading. You still got these guys, you know, we still got some guys out there like Allen Robinson is still out there. Jarvis Landry is still out there as well. Now, those names are big-time names, and I'm going to dive into another guy real quick. But I don't know if Tampa Bay has that salary cap space that's required to bring in another big-time name here. And we're talking about, like, Christian Kirk, man, I just want to dive into him real quick. Christian Kirk seems to have, and the Jaguars, seem to have set the market tremendously high for a receiver. And I mentioned those guys, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, then you got OBJ, even though he's coming off that knee injury. They're looking at Christian Kirk, and they're going to say, listen, this guy was arguably the second best receiver on their team last year behind DeAndre Hopkins. You can make an argument that, you know, he was the third best receiver there on that Cardinals defense as well. But nonetheless, he got a $21 million deal with the Jags. We know Jags have a ton of money to spend at this point. But, E, give me your thoughts on this. When you first heard this deal, what say you about this deal? And are the Jags just reaching and are just spending money that they have? What say you about this deal, man, for sure?
Okay. If I'm your boy in Green Bay, Adams, I have Google alerts set to certain receivers to see what their deal is for it to, you know, as soon as they get a deal, Google should alert me. They got X amount of dollars, so I know what that's for. Hey, dog,
right.
Christian Kirk wasn't even set on Google. I didn't have
him right.
set because
right.
I'm thinking, you know, I got OBJ, I got, you know, couple other, I got Jarvis Landry. I got, you know, a couple other high profile guys. And I didn't even have my Google alert set to Christian Kirk. So when I found out he got this type of money, I immediately called my agent and said, hey, you fired in 24 hours and we don't get that type of money. And then not to the Jaguars. Okay, the Jaguars drafted Trevor Lawrence last year. And one of their big, okay, you got two needs you need to address. You need somebody to throw to and you need somebody to protect him. I think because the Jags are not built to win now, they are a work in progress. I think you go get an offensive lineman with some of that money.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all of it, but my biggest concern would be to keep Trevor upright. I mean, because no matter how good the receiver he has on out there on the far left or the far right, if he can't seem to stay upright, that does him no good. I think they vastly overpaid Christian Kirk. I mean, I don't know him personally, and I don't begrudge the brother his money, but I'm just
right.
saying from a football standpoint, I think they're reaching. I think they overpaid. That money would have been better spent on an offensive lineman. Now, granted, they do have plenty of money over there, but when
mm-hmm.
when you push all your chips to the middle of the table and you go all in, you're not thinking down the road, because if you don't win now, you're out of the game. I just think
right.
I think they could have got him cheaper, and if they could let him walk, because they're, like you said, there's some other guys out there that are worth, I won't say that kind of money, but are worth high ticket items. I mean,
yeah.
there are still some Tiffany level receivers out there. You ain't got to be shopping at Jared. I mean, because what they did, they went into Jared and paid Tiffany's type money. No, dog, go to Tiffany. Get that little blue box. That's why female listeners, you know, they got the reference.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, man, to your argument and to the Jags' defense, they did go out and they did sign three offensive linemen. Now, they franchise tag Cam Robinson. I don't know how much what's that worth, you know, at this time. You know, franchise tag always dictates the market of the, you know, of that particular position. Then they signed Brandon Scherff, a 3-year deal, $49.5 million, which includes $30 million fully guaranteed. And they also signed an offense. They re-signed their other guy, Tyler Shantley, to a 2-year deal. So they did address their offensive line needs. Argument, but.
Re-signing guys that are terrible, is that really addressing my needs?
Thank you. That's exactly. That's what was my next point.
I mean, that's kind of like when you find a head coach and you promote the assistant. You're like, oh,
right.
So you had the answers the whole time.
Right. And that's where I was going with that. So that's a good news, bad news type deal right there. It's like, okay, good news, we got these guys back. Bad news is, we got these guys back. You know what I mean? So it's like
exactly.
a double-edged sword there. Yeah, so, but they did address their needs. And, you know, they're spending tons of money. They have they signed Zay Jones to a 3-year, $24 million deal. Evan Ingram, 1-year deal there, $9 million. And then they signed a couple of defensive players
Williams.
As well. So Yeah, Williams. I mean, they signed a bunch of guys, man. And I know they're not done here. I know they're not done. But now they're starting to put that pressure on Trevor Lawrence now. And they still got some high draft picks as well. So now they're putting that pressure on Trevor Lawrence. So now they're saying, like, listen, okay, Trevor Lawrence, last year you didn't have the weapons. Now you do. We signed these guys, you know. We signed these guys, and so it's now the ball is in your hand, you know, so to speak. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Jags do for sure. So they still got a lot of money left, man. They still got a lot of money left. If they don't finish I think they have a legitimate. Let me see. I'm thinking like the Texans, the Colts, Dolphins there. They should be in a hunt for the AFC North division for sure with all of these signings and all of the money that they have.
They play in the AFC South.
I said North. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
South. Yeah.
It's Jacksonville,
yeah.
Tennessee, Houston,
yeah.
and
the Dolphins.
Indy.
I said
the North. I mean, geography, you're right, but I'm just saying the way the divisions go. Now, the Dolphins play, it's the Dolphins, New England, who else is in that division? Dolphins,
New England, the Jets,
East. Dolphins, New England in the same division.
Yeah, the Dolphins, yeah, I'm sorry, the Dolphins are in the East. So it's the Texans, the Jaguars,
The Colts
and the Texans. Yeah. Texans, yes. So they have a legitimate chance to win that division based on all of the moves that they made. So if I said North, I apologize. I meant South. So, I definitely think they have a legitimate chance. I think the Colts, if they get that quarterback, the Colts are a quarterback away. I don't know if they're going to get Deshaun Watson. I don't know if they're going to get Jimmy.
They rolled Carson Wentz up out of there with a quickness.
Yeah,
did you see that your boy had to apologize for bringing him in, the head coach over there?
Yeah.
Because he's
Frank Wright.
It's kind of like the mafia. He vouched for Carson Wentz, and it didn't work out. But, you're lucky it wasn't like New Jack City. Wasn't he no toe G money? Hey, if your boy Washington is not who he says he is, I'm going to kill him. Then I'm going to kill you.
It was kind of, you know what? Another reference to that E is that you ever watched Donnie Brasco with Johnny Depp and Al Pacino when they called Al Pacino and Al Pacino took all of his jewelry off. You know, he put it on his and he went for that ride. That's how it was pretty much it should be for Frank Reich.
Exactly.
but good stuff there, man. What we're going to do here is we're going to grab our first break. When we come back, we're going to stay on the NFL topic, and I want to dive into some Baker Mayfield talk. See if we can get in some Colin Kaepernick talk as well. He's vying. There's a video that went out of him working out. Definitely want to dive into that. Get E's thoughts on should he be looked at on seriously. Also, I want to talk your Saints and the Steelers as well, and the AFC West. AFC West has been making some big moves, so we'll definitely dive into that. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Daquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel I. Reef, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@JavisTax.com, 1040@JavisTax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
If there's a fire in your kitchen, and when your roof just won't stop leaking, I got your back without you even asking. If I gotta whoop somebody's ass, I'ma do it with passion. And when it gets too dangerous, no, I'm never out of touch. Ain't gotta call 911, you can hit me up. you know I'm the one whenever you need them. In an emergency or when you just can't see, and I'll fly through for you with that urgency. My
And we are back. And again, you are tuned to Sports Talk with K Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking Tom Brady. We're going to talk with Deshaun Watson. We were talking, Baker Mayfield. We're also, getting into some good stuff there with the Jaguars. Definitely love E's thoughts and opinions on that. We were kind of, vibing on that same thing, E. But, want to stay on the NFL talk, and I want to talk about a couple of quarterbacks here, and I want to talk about Baker Mayfield. There's a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson. We'll definitely dive into him in a moment. But Deshaun Watson, was supposed to be meeting with the Cleveland Browns, and Baker Mayfield sent out a tweet, thanking the Browns fans and the – I don't know if he said the organization – but it seems like he feels like, he's being replaced. Is it too much for him to be doing this? As Jay and I, my co-host Jason Collins on Sundays, we always like to call the sensitive guys Mr. Ralph Tresvant. Is he being too sensitive right now, as far as, sending out that tweet just because they wanted to talk to Deshaun Watts? What say you?
It's a tough call. Now, this could have gone one of two ways. He could have got a call from his agent and be like, hey, dog, it's over in Cleveland. I'm working on some other stuff. Be patient. Mm-hmm. He could have got that phone call. Or he could have saw on the ticker on ESPN, Cleveland Browns to meet with Deshaun.
Yeah, right.
And then got all up in his feelings and start drunk tweeting. At that point, somebody need to take his phone. Because let's say you did all of this, and then let's say they don't sign Deshaun, and then you got to go back down there. When you walk in, everybody talking, and when you walk in, all of a sudden the room go hush, it go quiet. Hey, dog, they're talking about you.
They're talking about you, right?
Because like my grandma used to say, you just showed your behind. I don't know how you come back from that. You know how they say, you done lost the locker room? Yeah, dog, you lost it. If he didn't get the call, like I said, from his agent telling him something, if he just saw the ticker on ESPN, he went Ralph Tresvant on you. Yeah, I like that reference. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, Jay came up with that one, and I had to co-sign on that one. I thought that was a good one. We generally use that when we're talking about KD, but I think it fits here.
He did a lot. Like I said, if you don't have any inside information, if you just reading the ticker like the rest of us, you out here drunk tweeting.
Right. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, he might be under the influence right now. And I don't think he tweeted it. I just think he was just dictating it, so whoever was sober at in the room was sending it out. You know what I mean?
That person need to go. Hey, dog, you sure? You sure you want to send this? Like I said, I tell you before, when you're the smartest person in your group, you need a new group.
Dude,
yeah, he need a new group.
Facts. Yeah, I can't argue with that for sure, man. And, with that being said, man, let's talk about – I mentioned Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson is the biggest name right now other than Brady as far as the quarterbacks and where they're going to go. Deshaun Watson, has been the criminal charges for him has been dismissed. It was a majority decision for them to be dismissed. He still faces some civil allegations there, civil suits, if you will. But nonetheless, the dark side or the worst part of it is behind him right now. He got rid of the worst part of it. So with that being said, these civil suits, can be handled. They can either, you know, he can ride it out and ultimately let it play out, or he can, you know, just, you know, settle, you know, settle without going to court. But with all that being said, let's say these are taken care of in either way, whichever way, you know, whether they're dismissed or whether he settles out of court or whatever the case may be. Do you see – where do you see him going? Let's turn this into a two-part question. Where do you see him being traded to? And also, do you see a suspension in his future as well?
Okay, let's start here. And I got – I'm going to throw out a question, but we'll put it in the parking lot. But I just want to put it out there, and we'll address it later. How good is Deshaun Watson after being out of football all this time? But we'll come back to that. Now, as to where he's going, I do think wherever he goes, I think he'll play right away. I mean, because if DeMaurice Smith is worth anything that the NFLPA pays him, he's got to make an argument that, hey, my guy wasn't found guilty of anything, and y'all pretty much blackballed him last year. So he already served. I mean, he should at least get time served, even if the suspension was coming down. Now,
great point.
Goodell being Goodell might come in with this six-game suspension like he did for Big Ben and then knock it down to four. But, again, that's where DeMaurice Smith has got to step in and say, hey, my man should get time served. He hadn't played for a year, but then Rodgers come back and say, hey, yeah, we paid him. That was Houston's decision not to pay him. But still, there's an argument to be made. Now, where he will end up, I read yesterday that he waived off everybody but the Saints and the Panthers. But then I read today that he was meeting with Cleveland. So I think it's down to the Saints, the Dolphins, Cleveland, and the Panthers. Hopefully, he will land with us, with the Saints, because I don't know what we're going to do with Jameis. But then that brings me back to my original question. After missing all this time, how good is he?
Yeah, you know what? Great question. I mean, I think he's still good, man. I think a year off for this year, he's still young. He's not a Kaepernick guy. We'll definitely dive into Kaepernick, but he's not a guy who's been out for 6 years, 5 years, or however long Kaep's been out for. He's been out 1 year. He stayed in shape. He's 26 years old, E. So, yeah, he's still – and some argue – or some may say – I don't want to say argue. Some may say that he hasn't even reached his prime yet. So we're just going to say for argument's sake that he's in his prime. He's still in his prime. So I don't think that 1 year will hurt him for sure, E. So then I think, you know,
but
once he gets back –
how good was he before? Is my boy?
He was considering on the team that he was on. He was outstanding. He's really is. That's
when he lost D-Hop, though, his production went way.
Well, that's
down.
A different. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. That's if anyone loses their top receiver, I mean, that's like Aaron Rodgers losing Devontae Adams. You know, that's like, you know, Drew Brees losing Mike Thomas. You know, that's what we're talking about here. You know, that's any quarterback who loses a top-notch receiver like that, their numbers aren't going to be the same, obviously, but that doesn't take away from Deshaun Watson's ability to play, because of the fact of the matter is, man, this guy is still really good, man. He's still really good. And that's why all the buzz is around him right now. Again, he's still young, man. He's still young. I think I got some shoes underneath my bed or in my closet that are older than this guy. So, you know, there are Jordans. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. But that's just not just old raggedy shoes. But nonetheless, for sure, he is definitely worth the hype, worth the contract anybody gives him. Look here, E, we got our good buddy and my co-host, Jason Collins. He's calling in. Let me open up his mic. Mr. Jason Collins, how are you doing this evening, my brother? And thank you so much for joining us.
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing good, man. Looking forward to the show tonight.
Hey, what up, Jay? Hey, K-Walk. Jay said he coming for that 25 tonight, dog.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that from a few people. I'm not scared. I ain't scared of you. And my Bernie Mac goes, I ain't scared of you. but Jay, you came in at a good time because you and I kind of talked about this on Sunday on our show. It's a walkthrough right here on Never Ask for Good Sports Radio, 11 a.m. on Sundays for our listeners. But for our listeners here, Jay, Deshaun Watson, he posed a question, and I want you to answer this. He posed a question that, you know, is he still you posed that question. I don't want to paraphrase. I want you to repeat that question for Jay if he didn't hear that.
Okay, I'm saying, is he more than serviceable? How good is he? I mean, he's been out of football for a year. Once he lost D-Hop, his production in Houston went way down. Basically, I'm asking, is he this coveted guy that everybody seems to think he's the second coming? Is he really that good? Is he elite? Is he good or is he very good? I mean, where does he fit into the spectrum?
Yeah, it's a good question, E, but I think he's very, very good and approaching elite. Like, I really believe that he is everything that we thought he was. Yeah, he lost D-Hop and the production went down, but I attribute that more to the organization that he was in, the players that he had around him. Nobody can do it by themselves. And the thing about him, yes, he was out of football for a year, but I think he's, what, 25 or 26 years old?
26.
I mean, You could argue that he's not even in his prime yet, honestly. So, look, he's been away for a year. Think about it as a guy who got injured and missed a season. I think he's going to come back and have a fantastic year. But he needs to be on the right team. I mean, he needs to have the right weapons and all that. But I think he's worth trying to go get if you got to give up a lot to get him, because you're going to have a franchise quarterback for – the next 12 years if you go get this guy. So I think it's totally worth it.
Yeah, and I agree, Jay. And I pretty much piggybacked on what I said because, you know, you and I were in agreement on Sunday, and I was just, you know, reiterating what we had spoke about on Sunday. And I really do think that he's worth it. What do you give up for him? That remains to be seen. Is he worth that? Of course, that also remains to be seen. You know, we saw what Denver got or Seattle got for Russell Wilson. Is he worth that? I'm going to say he's probably worth that, if not more, because he's more in his prime than Russell Wilson is. So it's that number is going to be huge, man. And you're gonna if you don't give up two or three first-round picks, you're going to have to give up a quality player as well, whether it be on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. So it's going to remain to be seen. But, Jay, for our listeners, where do you see him landing, man? I mean, he just spoke about three teams. There was the Dolphins – four teams, I believe you said. There's the Dolphins, the Saints,
Carolina and Cleveland.
Carolina and Cleveland. What say you about those four teams, and then what do you see him possibly landing? What's the best spot for him out of those four teams mentioned?
Yeah, I've been hearing Carolina wants to make a big push. Out of those teams mentioned, I'd probably go with the Saints, to be honest with you, just because I feel like they've got a more recent history of being a good football team, of playing winning football. I know Sean Payton's gone, but I feel like they're going to be able to transition and kind of keep that thing going. Carolina, I mean, yes, they've had some success with Cam, but I'm not sure in Cleveland yet, but they're still Cleveland to me. And Miami, the way they did Flores, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that organization.
Right.
So I would probably, out of those four teams, lean towards the Saints. But, K-Walk, like we talked about a little bit on Sunday, and I don't know if the 49ers can do it money-wise and what they'd have to give up and all that, but just in terms of a fit, I think his skill set really matches what the 49ers like to do offensively. So if there was a way to get him to the Bay, I think that would be a great fit for him. But, look, I know that's probably a long shot.
I don't know, Jay, man. Well, there's a will, there's a way, man. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know if we should do it, but Trey Lance may have to be in that equation if they're serious about getting Deshaun Watson, to be honest with you. Maybe you throw a third team in there and then make a three-team trade, you know, possibly get the Panthers involved. Obviously, the Texans, you know, you can send Trey Lance to the Texans. You can send Jimmy G to the Panthers. And everybody else can work everything out as long as Deshaun Watson gets to the 49ers. And that's just me trying to be a fake mad scientist, you know, in the laboratory, you know. But I have thought about it. What do we have to possibly give up to get this guy? But, yeah, I would love it, Jay, to be perfectly honest with you. If we have to mortgage the future, I say we, if the 49ers have to mortgage the future to get this guy, then so be it, man, as long as that we don't give up too much. You know, give up some draft capital. 49ers have gotten some compensation picks this year and next year due to the fact they lost so many guys, coaches and players as well. So they got some compensatory picks, you know, so they can trade those. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I would love that, Jay. You and I talked about it. You know how giddy I got on Sunday. I'm getting just as giddy right now thinking about it, man. For sure, man, for sure. But, Jay, let's just backtrack a little bit. Let's just reel. We're fishing right now, but let's just reel back a little bit, you know, our line on the pole. And we were talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, man, and we were talking about as many picks as they had. Accusations that they had as far as, you know, they picked up Zay Jones. The Christian Kirk thing is huge right there as far as 4 years, $72 million. Evan Ingram, we mentioned those guys. Real quick, Jay, what do you think about the Jags? I mean, are these desperation picks, signings, or do you think that these are legitimate signings for this team? And will it give Trevor Lawrence a chance to possibly win the AFC South? What say you?
I mean, when it first came out, I think I saw your text or Brittany's text. Like, it did feel a little bit desperate, you know. It felt like they were reaching a little bit for sure. Then you look at the money and you're like, man, are they overpaying or is this just what the going rate is for a decent receiver these days? I don't know. But, I mean, I guess if you're Jacksonville, you have to ask yourself, like, what options do you really have? Like, you're not a place where free agents are clamoring to go, so you really have to take what you can get. And if that means you have to overpay a little bit, you know, that just might be the position that you're in. Look, you've got this young quarterback that everybody thinks, you know, can be pretty good. So I think you do have to do whatever you can to try to get him some half-decent weapons. So, yeah, at first, it's definitely eyebrow raising. I'm like, man, what are they doing? But then again, like, when you're in the position of the Jaguars, you're forced to do things that teams in better standing don't have to do. So I understand it. But, yeah. Absolutely. It looked like they were reaching for sure.
Yeah, all right. Good point. I agree as well. E, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. You had a question?
So, yeah, while we're talking about money and quarterbacks and, you know, who's going to be available and who's not going to be available, what do you guys think Green Bay is going to do with Jordan Love? I mean, you just gave Aaron $153 million guaranteed for 4 years, $200 million contract. So you pretty much said you got him for at least 2 years. I mean, at the very least, minimum 2 years.
Right.
You gave up draft capital to move up to get Jordan Love, but then you turn around and give Aaron Rodgers all this money. So what message are you sending to Jordan Love? What are you going to do there? Do you think you can recoup those picks back by trading him? I mean, I just want to know what you guys think about Jordan. Do you think it's because, you know, like I said before, we've seen his movies. They're not very good. Do you think they want to move on from him? Is he no longer their future? I mean, just what do you guys think Green Bay is going to do with Jordan Love and this whole, you know, situation over there? Because they got a situation on their hands.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a great point. And Jay and I touched on this on Sunday as well. And you wonder what's going to happen with Jordan Love. But, you know, and that was at the point when my response was, that I think they'll keep Jordan Love because I just don't know, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with Aaron Rodgers, and especially after the new details of his contract, meaning Aaron Rodgers' contract. It seems like it's a year-to-year thing, but like you stated, E, it is at least 2 years. So they at least have 2 years, and I think Jordan Love is going into his third year of his rookie contract. So I say you definitely keep him. You traded up for him. So you have to, you know, you have to keep him because you don't know, you know, year in and season out, you don't know where Aaron Rodgers' mindset is going to be, because I think it's all predicated, it's all dictated on how the season went and the way it ended. Aaron Rodgers shut down previous year. He was, you know, instead of being in camp, he was on a boat, a yacht, wherever he was at. So I definitely think from an assurance standpoint, you keep Jordan Love for sure. Small sample size, you don't know what you're going to get with them. Go ahead.
Now, with that being said, though, if you're Jordan Love, do you voluntarily stick around, or do you ask to be let go? I mean, because you were drafted in the first round, so the fifth year is the team option. You have
right.
no leg to stand on to ask for an extension right now. Because, you know, normally around the third year, if a guy outplays his rookie deal, right now it's when, especially a quarterback, now it's when you're asking for big money. He can't ask for big money.
No.
He hadn't done anything. And then you just extended the dude in front of him for 4 years.
Right.
Now, I'm not even sure if the team is going to pick up your fifth-year option. I mean, if I'm doing
right.
love, I want out.
Yeah, but it's kind of like that saying from the Mac. I think you had posted something about the Mac. It's kind of like,
you know,
shut your
rule?
Mouth when grown folks. Yeah. You shut your mouth
yeah.
when grown folks are talking. That's basically where he's at right now. He's not in the position to ask for a demand a trade. He can ask for a trade, but listen, you know, you have a small sample size. You're going to, if we ship you to somewhere, if we trade you to somewhere, we're going to trade you to somewhere where you're not going to be successful. So just relax, you know, wait it out. You know, you're still under contract. You're sitting behind a great quarterback, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks, not the greatest quarterback, but arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Learn from this guy, you know, learn, you know, the system, learn how the game works, learn the business. And then, you know, if it comes down to it where Aaron Rodgers is still there and that fifth-year option comes up, you know, then, you know, that's when you demand, listen, don't exercise that option, you know. Don't exercise that option. I want to explore, I want to explore free agency. And I think that's what Jordan Love ultimately has to do. I think he's in a great position right now. Even though you don't know what the situation is with Davante Adams, even though he said that he doesn't want to play under the franchise tag, I still think that Jordan Love waits it out. Green Bay waits it out with Jordan Love as well. So I think Green Bay, from a quarterback standpoint, they're in a really good situation right now. So I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. But Jay, what say you about E's question?
Yeah, look, I think there's two ways to look at it. I agree with E. Like, if I was Jordan Love, if it was me, I would want to leave because I want to play. I don't want to sit there and, look, I know it's a two-year deal and then maybe could go to four, but I don't want to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for potentially 4 years. I mean, he's 23 right now. I mean, he could be 27 years old by the time he's getting an opportunity. And at that point, it's like, do we even know if this guy can play? So if I was Jordan Love, I would want to say, you know what, take me somewhere where I can compete for the starting job and have an opportunity to play. But from the Packers side, I mean, I get it. It's got to be two things. Number one, they've seen the movie, and they don't believe that he's ready, you know, but maybe they think a few more years, maybe he can get there. And then number two, it's not bad to have a backup that knows the system, that's been in the system.
Right.
If Rodgers does get hurt, you feel like you have a reliable guy that you can go to. But I feel like in some way they're kind of hurting themselves, because if they ever do want to move on from this guy, what are you really going to get for him? No one knows if he can play or not. If he sits another year or two, those questions just get bigger and bigger. So it's a complicated situation.
Yeah.
And I'll just add, I feel like Green Bay, look, I know it's Aaron Rodgers, but I felt like that was an expensive price for a guy that's only delivered one Super Bowl and a lot of hype about being so great. So I don't know, man. I didn't really love the signing of Rodgers, and they need to figure this Jordan Love thing out.
Real quick, before we grab our next break here, E, Jay brought up a great point as far as the signing. Is this signing has to do what he's done in the past, or what you see that he can do in the future, or is it about the potential? Or what say you about this signing? Because it doesn't make sense to me either, man. $50 million a year, this really doesn't make sense.
I'll give you a third option: poor management. Whoever's in charge over there has made a horrific mistake, because football is not really a sport where you pay a guy for what he's done. Basketball is more that. But if you're good, let's just say, let's accept the premise that we are paying for what he's done. Well, he's got you one Super Bowl. You overpaid. Now, if you're going to look and say, okay, well, we're not paying him for what he's done, we're paying him for what he can do. He's 37 years old. He's won the MVP the last 2 years, and you still hadn't done anything. So
right. You're
not paying him for what he's going to do. You should have took some of that money when he told you to spread it around and get me some weapons in here. Because obviously, I don't want to disparage him, because he's won the MVP the last 2 seasons. He's done all he can do. So now you want to give him $200 million to keep him when you should have took some money and got him some weapons instead of moving up, going to get Jordan Love. You went and got his replacement, and then all of a sudden you're saying, wait a minute, let's go ahead. You did the exact opposite of what the Arizona Cardinals did. Remember the Arizona Cardinals drafted one of the Joshes in the first round, and it was like, oh, hell no, he got to go. And spent another first round pick the very next year on Kyler Murray. Green Bay hustling backwards. They went out. They had an MVP. They went out and moved up to take a guy in the first round that they have no plan on playing, because there's no way you plan to play him when you just gave Aaron Rodgers $153 million guaranteed. Unless Aaron Rodgers, they got to take him out on a stretcher, and they definitely say he can't go no more. That's the only way Jordan Love plays. And Green Bay, you did this to yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's poor management over there. I don't know, because if they're paying for what he's done, they pay too much. And if they pay for what he's going to do, they pay too much.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you, man. I mean, I just don't understand why, you know, why they're in a situation of like this, because, I guess it is poor management. But when you look at Jordan Love as well, you know, you have to look back at the management of the Green Bay Packers. Excuse me. And you have to say to yourself, okay, well, we traded up to get this guy. And in that same draft, there were 32 receivers taken in that particular draft, and none were taken by the Green Bay Packers. So now you're in a position where you have, arguably, in my opinion, he's the best receiver, and Davante Adams is the best receiver in all of the NFL, and you're not even willing to pay this guy, extend this guy, but you're willing to give it all to Aaron Rodgers. Wow, you got to ask yourself, E. I mean, you got to ask yourself, and great point there, E. But, Jay, you know, same question to you that E just answered.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with everything that E said. I feel like, they overpaid. Look, and I know it's Aaron Rodgers. I know he's great. I know he's talented. I know he's got the golden arm and all those things, but it's not really translating to anything tangible that we can hold on to. Yes, one Super Bowl, but how many Super Bowls, like, if you look at it, has he left on the table, where there were years where people thought they were going to win it and they couldn't get it done? So I agree 100%. Poor management, and I think they could have handled this in a much better way, especially for a guy that hasn't even really acted like he wants to be there. You know, he's kind of held him hostage the last few years. So I just, yeah, man, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay, staying with you, Jay, on this one. Davante Adams, what's the future of Davante Adams with the Green Bay Packers, in your opinion?
Look, I think if you're going to bring Rodgers back, you got to bring Adams back, right? I mean, they've got this connection. They know each other. They understand each other. So I feel like if you're going to make that commitment to Rodgers, how do you get rid of his favorite weapon? So I think they're going to have to figure that out, because bringing Rodgers back at that price but not bringing back the guy that he's most comfortable with, it makes it make even less sense than it already does.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Well, E, what say you?
Franchise tag. You're going to have to franchise them. I mean, because I don't think you're going to be able to come to a long-term deal with all the salary cap space that Rodgers is tying up. You can't have two players tie up more than 50% of your cap. I know some teams do it, but it's to the detriment of the team down the road if you're going to think long-term. I mean, especially if you said there's some language in Rodgers' contract where it's basically year-to-year, yeah, you got a franchise tag out of. I mean, I know he don't want to play under that, but hey,
yeah.
A lot of times what we want and what we get aren't necessarily the same things.
Yeah, exactly. We may not always get what we want, but sometimes you get what you need. So great point there,
yeah,
man. Great point. So, yeah, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if they have that money to bring him in there because, you know, if you look at the Christian Kirk deal, man, he's looking like Christian Kirk saying, you know, I'm getting $21 million a year. Hey, listen, you know how the market goes. This is the market. I'm the best in the game. I'm the best in the business. And he's talking about $27-28 million. I think DeAndre Hopkins is the highest paid receiver right now. And he's definitely going to want, you know, that at least that much. And I don't know if Green Bay can afford that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But what we're going to do is we're going to grab our next break. And when we come back, I want to stay on the NFL talk, and I want to talk about two things before we switch it over to the NBA. I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick, and I want to talk about the Saints as well, E, and what you see those guys doing. Also, a little bit of the Steelers as well. No, actually not. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to try to get into it as much as we possibly can. So much on the plate. But again, guys, you're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside E. Scott. Right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Princess, somebody's girl, she probably might be one. I know a real bad when I see one. I'm like, if it was me, I keep one. Because she the kind of girl in this need, son. No games, I'm serious, I think I really like her. Oh lord, she's it, I'll wipe her. Hoping I can get close enough to try her. Man, I will lock her down, life her.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Again, you are tuning to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, before we were before the break, we were talking to Sean Watson. It's going to be an interesting thing, man. I just can't wait to see how this plays out, and I really hope he gets out of Houston, and I hope he gets into a situation where it best suits him. He has a no-trade clause, so that means he can pretty much control wherever he wants to go. I'm a big fan of Deshaun Watson, man. I think, we kind of touched on it earlier. I think he has a lot of football left, and I just hope he gets in the right situation, man, because a young kid is a winner. He's a baller for sure. Staying on the NFL topic, I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. I'll start with you on this one. Speaking of guys who've been out of football for some time, Colin Kaepernick's been out of the league for about 6 years now.
a video surfaced with him working out. You look at those guys, you know, they're not NFL, not D1. I don't know what type of receivers you want to, you know, label them as. But, you know, he was showing off some arm strength, some footwork, still has the desire to play in the NFL. E, as much as, you know, we love Colin Kaepernick, you know, as much as I love him, as well as a 49er fan, do you think his time has passed? I know a lot of people saying that, you know, there are not 30 quarterbacks or, you know, whatever number you want to, that are better than he is. But do you think that the window has closed for him? Or what say you about Colin Kaepernick and his possible future in the NFL?
Well, if he's willing to be a backup somewhere, I think there's space for him. I don't think there's a team that's going to make him a starter right off. I mean, because, like, you can make the argument, okay, yeah, there are not 32 quarterbacks better than him. But if you want to go on the other side of it and say, okay, yeah, there are 32 quarterbacks better than him, there's not 64 that are better than him. I'm sorry. Even he's been out of the league 6 years. Look at your boy. What's your boy from the Rams? Waddle. He came out of obscurity, and now he's a Super Bowl champion. I'm not saying Kyle makes you a Super Bowl champion, but I'm just saying I don't think there's 64 quarterbacks that are better than him. So if he's willing to humble himself and be a backup somewhere, I think there's space for him. I don't think, even though I don't think there are 32 guys better than him, there's an argument for 32 guys over him. Given, you know, and you can take all the politics out of it and just simply look at, from a football standpoint, given the time he's been out of football. And, I mean, I know, you know, he got this video that's saying he's in shape, it says whatever, but both you and Jay know from playing football, nothing gets you ready for football other than playing football. You can do all the workout you want, you can lift all the weights you want. Until you go across that middle cakewalk and Ray Lewis tattoos you, you're not
Baby,
you're
mom,
not
I'm gonna rub my chest.
Nothing prepares you for that. I'm telling that example. What did Mike Tyson say? Everybody got a game plan until you get punched in the mouth and then it switches up. So yeah, I think he can come in and be a backup somewhere, and I do think there's a job for him. But from what I understand, he thinks he can start somewhere. I think that ship is sailed.
Yeah, man, I have to agree with you there, man. As I was rubbing my chest when you mentioned Ray Lewis, flashback. I don't know if you guys remember the Friday when you know, when they mentioned Hector, when Smokey was you know doing his thing, man, and they mentioned Hector, and he, you know, starts shaking, and that's how I feel every time I hear Ray Lewis' voice. But but nonetheless, but yeah, Jay, what say you about, you know, about Colin Kaepernick? Do you see him, you know, potentially starting, being a backup? I mean, it's been so many. I mean, it's been, what, 6 years, as I mentioned, since he's been out. I know he has a desire. Forget all the political aspect of it, Jay. Just throw that out the window. That's not even a concern. That's not even an issue. But from his, from a physical standpoint, athletic standpoint, what say you about Colin Kaepernick?
Nah, I don't see it, man. His opportunity was 4 or 5 years ago. Like, he's been out of the game 5 years. That's a long time. And I know he looks good in shorts and a T-shirt and throwing the ball a little bit, but it's different, man, when you got 300-pound guys chasing you. It's just different, and I think he's been out of it for too long. And look, as much as we all like Cap and admire what he did, let's be honest. I mean, the last few times we saw him on the field, he wasn't even that great then.
Right.
So, I mean, how much has he fallen off in the last 5 years? Now, I do agree with E. Like, sure, you're not going to find 64 guys better than he is. I mean, there's somebody holding a clipboard right now that don't have no business being in the NFL. So,
Facts.
Could he be a backup? Absolutely. But I just don't think it's going to happen, because to me it's like, okay, well, what's different now? Like, it didn't happen last year. It didn't happen the year before. Well, why now? So as much as I hate it for him, I don't see it happening.
Let me answer Jay's question about what's different now. And, Jay, I mean, I'm going to need you to suspend disbelief and go here with me. What's different now?
Okay.
Brian Flores. We don't have to dive into that, but
right,
yeah.
On the surface,
Your question was, what's different now? Hey, dog, Blind Flores has caused some waves. So that's what's different now. If you're a team that wants to, like, you know, be progressive and make it seem like you doing the right thing, you know, like, because Miami hired this white boy and went out and found out he got a drop of black blood in him, so he's a minority hire, and they get some compensatory
go Niners.
Picks.
Go Niners.
I mean, you know, if Miami willing to do that, because this dude is white as anybody we ever see, but, you know, his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather on his mother's side was half black, so now he's considered a minority, huh? But anywho, I digress. Blind Flores, quiet as his cap, Blind Flores has shook up a lot of stuff. So if you're a team that got some, you know, some questionable stuff in your past, that might be the reason you will bring in Kaepernick as a backup. And again, like I said, Jay, I needed you to go there with me because it is far-fetched, but you can see where I'm going with it.
Yeah. No, I definitely think it's a fair point that maybe, you know, teams that are feeling a little bit of heat and maybe want to get some eyes and some pressure off of
yes.
them, you know, they try to bring in Cap. I could certainly see it. But even in that, man, I think that, you know, there's probably only a handful of teams that I can think of that might even be willing to give that a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I understand where both of you are coming from that aspect, man. But like I said, let's just throw that out the window, man, because, you know, that's going to be a huge circus, you know, in itself, to be honest with you. And I just think that Cap, you know, even as a 49er fan, I mean, you know, when he was in his prime, when he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl, he was 5 yards away from winning the Super Bowl against those Ravens, man. I still didn't think he was, you know, one of the best quarterbacks at that time. Can he come in and start? I just don't think so, man. He just hasn't played enough football, man. You know, I can go out there and I can grab like 8-9 guys, you know, and sit there and sling the ball, look like a quarterback. And I can do the same thing Cap was doing. Maybe my arm strength is not as strong, but it's pretty much the same thing, man, is that you could go out there and you look good on a video, you know, because there's, you know, you're just, you know, there's one guy running a route. There's no defense. There's no defender on him. There's no line coming at him. All that good stuff. That looks good on video, man. But I just think that Cap's been out of the league too long. And I just don't think that, you know, and you could say that, you know, there's not 64 guys better than him. Maybe not from an athletic standpoint, but as far as coming in and getting back into that football shape, you know, starting to understand that particular offense, whatever that system is. God forbid if it be a 49er or Kyle Shanahan offense, you know, and that takes tons and tons of, you know, weeks to pick up from what I'm hearing. So, yeah, I mean, Cap, I love you, bro. You know, listen, and I love you, bro, but, you know, I think the window is past, and I'm not even, you know, talking about, again, that politics aspect of it. That's not even a factor right now. I'm just talking about from an athletic standpoint. I just don't see him being able to be a guy that can lead a team to, you know, playoffs or whatever. Cap can prove me wrong. A team could bring him in. All he needs is one team, you know, to get him in there, and he can, you know, prove me wrong and prove all the other naysayers wrong. But I think the window's passed for Cap. But let's move on. Let's stay on the football topic, and I want to talk about your Saints, E. And a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson. I know we talked about Deshaun Watson coming in here. And a lot of things are being said. I know they just signed Marcus May to a big contract like that. So you guys did lose the your D-back, your safety there as well. So that, I think that was a good trade-off, man. I think Marcus May may be a little bit better than what you lost there. But still a lot of holes to be filled. Not sure where Deshaun Watson is going to do. James Winston, I think he might be waiting to see what's going on with Deshaun Watson. I think a lot of teams are waiting to see what Deshaun Watson is going to do. But what are your thoughts on your Saints, E, and how do you see this this offseason playing out, and what do you see the team looking like going into next season?
Well, from what I've heard, through restructuring of contracts and whatnot, we've gotten it down to only like $8 million over the cap. I know a lot of teams would say, like, ooh, $8 million over the cap, and they would panic. No, this is down from, like, $79 million over the cap. So if we're only $8 million over the cap, that's a win there. Now, I think the problem with Jameis, now, me as a fan, I'm all for Jameis, but I think what hurt us, I hurt Jameis' chances of re-signing is when Sean Payton walked away. I mean, because, you know, they were apprehensive about bringing Jameis in the first place. It was like, oh, but we got Sean Payton. Sean Payton can work out, you know, those 30 interceptions. Because he had, you know, Jameis threw for 33 touchdowns over 5,000 yards in the 30 interception season. And so they were hoping, okay, with a Sean Payton, maybe we could cut down on that. But now our new head coach, Dennis Allen, is a defensive guy. Because he was promoted from D.C., so he's not really in tune with the offense. So when you have a defensive-minded head coach, you got to surround yourself with good offensive people. Same as when you've got an offensive-minded head coach, you got to surround yourself with good defensive people. So I think they're looking at, hey, we can bring this Deshaun Watson guy in. He doesn't need as much hand-holding, if you will, that Jameis needs. Because we don't have Sean here to do that anymore. But if we lose on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, I say we have to go with Jameis because I know damn well it ain't Ian Book or Trevor Siemian. And again, I don't so much mind Taysom Hill, but I like Taysom doing the Taysom stuff. I don't like him as an every down quarterback. But if you told me Taysom or Ian Book, I'm gonna go Taysom. If you told me Taysom or Trevor Siemian, I'm gonna go Taysom.
I think
we either gotta bring in Deshaun Watson or we gotta stick with old famous Jameis.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. But I have to tell you, man, you know, I do like Ian Book. I know he did his start wasn't the greatest. It's not the worst.
Hold on. Let me hear my
argument, man. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm not saying he should be a starter. Don't get me wrong. Let me finish. Don't get me wrong. But Ian Book is a quality quarterback. But the thing about it, they brought him in off of the practice squad. And, you know, they were in desperate measures. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And that's where they were in. They didn't get that guy enough. He's a good quarterback. If he's in the right system, if he's given the right time, given the right amount of plays. But no, I'm not you know saying he's going to be a really good quarterback. But I'm just saying my thing and my point is he's not as bad as you think he is. But I get
it. I'm on the complete other end of the spectrum.
I think CC went to
Notre Dame. That means he's probably pretty smart. Hopefully he got a degree and studied something, because I want him out of football altogether. I need him to go do something else, because football is not his calling.
Right. Let me ask you this. Brian Kelly or Sean Payton, who would you take as a coach, a quarterback whisperer?
Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, the dude that went to LSU and made us all sound like we country bumpkins? Sean Payton all day.
Right, if you get Sean Payton, yeah.
I want to fight Brian Kelly on sight.
Right, so Brian Kelly turned him into a draft pick. So I'm thinking if you give Sean Payton more time with Ian Book, meaning allow him to perform more, I think he'll be better than what he's shown. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's the greatest thing. He's going to be a great quarterback or a starter, but I think he's better than what you give him credit for. And that's all the reason why I brought that up. But real quick, Jay, your thoughts on the Saints and everything that E said as well.
No, I agree with what E said about the quarterback situation. I think it's got to be Jameis or they got to bring somebody in like a Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I think he's better, like he said, doing different packages, playing a variety of positions, and just trying to make things happen offensively. I don't like him as a full-time starting quarterback. I just don't think he throws it well enough. So I feel like Jameis, when he was healthy, played well enough to say, okay, look, we can bring this guy back and he can win us some football games. Look, I think one of the best things the Saints have going for them is the division they play in. Look, I don't think the Falcons are going to be very good. The Carolina Panthers are a bit of a mess right now. And even though Brady's coming back, I mean, I've heard E say it many, many times on this show that the Saints have Tampa Bay's number. So I feel like their division really, really helps them and keeps them in a competitive position. But as far as Ian Book goes, K-Walk, I was with you, like, watching him at Notre Dame. I was like, look, this dude is better than people think. But then when they kind of threw him out there, I think it was a Thursday or a Monday night game, and he looked like a deer in the headlights, and his eyes were
really
saucers. I was like, all right, this guy's not ready yet. But I do think – I'm not going to go as far as I don't think he needs to be out of the league. I think, you know, give this guy a year or two, get some tutelage. I think he could be serviceable.
Yeah, at best. At worst, I think he could be serviceable if you give him enough time. Great point there, Jay. I can't argue with that there because I made that same point. But listen, I wanted to dive into so many more things, but due to time constraints, I want to jump into the NBA, and then I want to talk about I'll start with you on this one, Jay. I know you're a I don't know if you're a diehard guy. I know you're a Nets guy. Last night,
I'm diehard now, K-Walk.
All right, okay,
hard,
there you go.
Man.
All right, you heard that, listeners. He's diehard now. Okay, so the Nets put up 151. I know it was the Magic. We get that. Probably the worst team record-wise in the league. Kyrie came out and scored 60, dropped 60, Jay. What say you about that? And then that catapulted them, and it's sad to say that catapulted them to the eighth seed, but nonetheless, it happened. That's where they need to be, that eighth seed, and they got a chance to. I don't know if they can get that sixth seed, Jay. But what say you about your Nets and that performance last night by Kyrie?
Look, man, when Kyrie is on his game, and when he's playing, and when he's not sitting out for various reasons. His offensive game is as good as anybody's in the league. I mean, this dude, the stuff that he can do offensively, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And like I said the other day, man, the name of the game is putting the ball in the basket. And the Nets have two dudes that I could argue are the best in the league at putting the ball in the basket. So I even though they're in the eighth seed, look, I feel like if I was any one of those teams at one, two, or three, I don't want to see the Nets in the first round. I absolutely don't. And, look, we got to remember, before KD got hurt, the Nets were the number one seed in the East. So, look, this is a team that's certainly capable of getting it done. I think they got to get that whole vaccine thing worked out or the mandates worked out in New York because they're going to need Kyrie on the floor. KD can't get it done on his own, and who knows what's going on with Ben Simmons. But I think the Nets are a very dangerous team. And I would not want to see them in the first round just because of the offensive firepower that they have.
Yeah, Jay, you know what? This is a mixed bag for me, man, because of the fact that it matters. You mentioned the New York mandate, the vaccine mandate. And before the MLB season, before baseball was back, I was like, you know what? I don't want Kyrie. You know, I'm not a Kyrie fan by any stretch. But keep the mandate, Eric Adams. And if you don't know who that is, ladies and gentlemen, that's the mayor of New York City. Keep the mandate. But now baseball is back, and some of my Yankees aren't vaccinated, so they can't play at home. So I'm rooting for the mandate, man. They're rooting for the mandate. But at the same time, Jay, I don't want to see Kyrie. I don't want to see my Miami Heat. I don't want to see Kyrie. I don't want to see KD. I don't want to see those guys. Those guys are scary, man, especially in the first round. So right now, since it's early in the baseball season, keep the mandate into the NBA playoffs because that team is scary, Jay. That team is scary. But E, what say you about the Nets and Kyrie's performance last night as well?
Well, yeah, Kyrie did Kyrie type things. I mean, take away all the other stuff that he does off the court. He's one hell of a basketball player, and he showed that last night. I just think, like Jay said, you got two of the guys, put it in the basket, two of the best in the building. I think in the business, I think Ben Simmons is only going to compliment that because now, he's not going to be asked to shoot the ball from the outside. And even though Ben won't shoot the ball, Ben can still score the basketball.
Right.
That makes them, better. To me, he's a better fit than Harden. Now, Harden may be a better scorer, a better basketball player, but Harden is not a good third option, and that's what he was. If Slim is healthy, Kyrie is playing, and Harden is out there, even though Harden, and this is taking nothing away from Harden, Harden is a very good basketball player, even elite basketball player. He's the third option in that trio. That's not a good role for him. He's not a good third option guy. But I think Ben is a perfect third option guy. He's like, I got two guys who can score. I can facilitate and play D, score when I need to. So I think that's a better fit. So if you can get keep Slim healthy, and if Kyrie, if Eric Allen will let Kyrie play at home, yeah, I think they go back from eight down to, depending on how many games are left, they can get it pretty close. And like you said, you don't want, that's not a team that you want to face in the playoffs.
Yeah, man, and like I said, it's bittersweet for me, Jay, because I'm afraid of this Brooklyn Nets team, and E, I'm afraid of this Brooklyn Nets team when Kyrie is on his game, because when he's focused, man, whew, good gracious, he's focused, to say the least. I know, again, you can chalk it up to Kyrie having rest. You know, he didn't play the previous game. The Nets got fined for him being in the locker room, and you're also playing against the Magic. But still, man, he has that potential of doing that to so many different teams, man. And they're hard to guard, man. And you know what? Keep the mandate. Keep the mandate.
So my question is, okay, he can't play because of the mandate. I get that. How did he get in the arena?
Yeah, he's allowed to be there. He's allowed to be as a fan, just like the fans are. But he's not allowed
fans,
to be considered.
The fans are not allowed. I mean, the fans are not don't have to be vaccinated.
No, they're not. They're,
okay,
yeah, no, they're not.
That.
No, they no. Then that's the argument, and that's the craziness about it, because he's allowed to be there in the stands in the arena, but he's not allowed to be around his teammates. And he's not allowed to be in the locker room. And that's when he was in the locker room after the game. And then the Nets ultimately got fined $50,000 for him to be in the locker room. Don't understand it, E. Don't get it. But that's just the way it is. Makes no sense to me, honestly. I just think if he could be in the arena, he could be in the stands without a mask on. He didn't even wear a mask. He wasn't even wearing a mask. But he can't be in the locker room, and he can't play on the court. But yeah, I just say, just do away with it if you're going to do away with it. I mean, if you allow him to do all that, allow him to play as well.
Exactly.
My personal opinion makes no sense to me. But you know, the Yankees are coming up. The baseball season is starting. The Mets are looking to be a big time team here. They made some acquisitions that make them look like a contender for a World Series. For the Yankees as well. So, you know, the Steinbrenners, are making some big noise. So, you know, we're going to see exactly what happens there, you know, see if they lift the mandate, and then ultimately lift the mandate for Kyrie as well. So a lot of crazy stuff going on with that. But real quick, guys, I want to end this in about 4 minutes because I want to get into our let's just go right into our gosh, I wanted to get you. We'll talk about that next week. I wanted to talk about the March Madness, but let's talk about let's do star bench cut right here, because I know you have a few on your board, E. So I want to give you some time so we can complete that. Star bench cut, E. We always start with you, so go right ahead and give me your star bench cut.
All right, Jay, I'm gonna start with you, Jay, on this one. Start one, bench one, cut one. I got Phil Jackson, I got Pat Riley, and I got Greg Popovich. Start one, bench one.
That's a good one.
And this is interesting, because one of the things I've been thinking about lately, like, are how good are these coaches? Like, are they great coaches because they have great players, or can they, like, really, really coach? But I think all three of these guys can coach, man. So this is tough. I'm going to go, man, this is tough. I'm going to start, man, this is tough, E. I'm going to start Greg Popovich. And I know that's a little, maybe y'all disagree, I don't know. But I'm going to start Popovich because I really believe that he is a great coach and he can win. I know he's had some great players, but I feel like he's just the best coach of the three, even though he doesn't have the championships and maybe some of the accolades, as many accolades as they have. I'm going to bench Pat Riley, and I'm going to cut Phil Jackson, as crazy as that sounds. And I'm going to penalize him a little bit because of Mike and Kobe. So I'm going okay. – I'm cutting Phil, I'm benching Riley, and I'm going to start Pop. That's tough, man.
K-Walk, I got the same three for you. Start one, bench one, cut one. Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I don't know if I put my notes or on this one right here. When I wrote it down when you presented the question, I don't know if, Jay, you saw that. I'm going right with Jay. I have to agree with that, man, and because Pop, not only is he, you know, obviously the all-time winningest coach in NBA history, look at the team that he, you know, he has this season, and he's broken the record with that. You know, granted, he had Tim Duncan, he had Tony Parker, and all those guys, and Manny Ginobili, just to name a few. Phil Jackson was a product of great talent, like Jay said. You know, he had MJ, he had Pip, he had Shaq, he had Kobe. I'm going to and Pat Riley won that one with that one team, man. He had Shaq, he had D Wade. But that was a tough one. It wasn't an easy road for them by any stretch, because Shaq was in the latter part of his career. So I'm going to start Pop. I'm going to bench Pat Riley, and I'm sorry, Phil Jackson, but I'm going to cut Phil Jackson.
Okay. So now we're going to move over to Fruit. I don't know how you guys feel about Fruit, but I like Fruit. So I got three
big
fruits
fan,
for you. Start one, bench one, cut one. Pineapple, okay. Mango, and peaches.
Oh,
Jay,
easy one for me.
Start with you.
Man, I could cut all three of those. I'd probably start the peaches, I guess, and then put the
Georgia
mango on the bench, and then for me the pineapple would have to go.
Okay, wow. I feel you.
Right.
Your Georgia peaches, I feel you.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
Hey, give me some grapes
one
and bananas, man.
Pineapple, mango, peaches.
Yeah, man, this is an easy one for me, man. I'm going to start peaches, I'm going to bench pineapple, and I'm going to cut mango, man. I don't love mango, don't get me wrong, but one has to go. So, again, I'm starting peaches, I'm benching pineapple, and I'm cutting mango.
Okay, my last one. Jay, we got wings, we got New York pizza, and we got
Oof.
Ribs. Start one, cut
Oof.
One, bench one.
Oh, brother.
That's easy for me. A New York pizza is the easy start for me. wings, I bench the wings, and I'm not a ribs guy, man, so I can cut that pretty easily. So that's an easy
one
for me.
You
give me the pizza. I don't get down with
these,
the ribs.
These northern roots. Ribs.
I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't even like wings that much.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's easy one, man.
Jay, a healthy guy. Jay going to live to like 150, man, for real. But,
I got New York pizza, and I got ribs. Start one, bench one, cut one.
All right, I have to, in order for me to answer this question properly, where are the wings coming from? I have to ask that.
The best wing place near you.
Oh, okay, there you go. Okay, enough said. So with that being said, and the best rib place. I'm sorry. So I'm going to start.
Now, the ribs come from down here. The ribs come from the south. Somewhere down here, yeah.
All right. So we got ribs, we got wings, and so New York pizza is obviously
pizza
number one. Yeah, New York pizza is number one, obviously. The ribs are coming from down south, so I'm going to start the ribs. I'm going to bench the ribs. And I'm going to cut the wings because ever since this one place up here, E and J, that went out of business, I haven't been able to find a good wing. So right now, I'm starting the New York pizza, I'm benching the ribs, and I'm cutting the wings.
Okay. Those were my three, K-Walk. Go ahead with yours.
Yes. So this week I have actresses. All right. I'll start with you on this one, Jay. I have Angela Bassett, I have Halle Berry, and I have Taraji P. Henson.
Whew.
Start bench.
Okay, I'm starting Halle Berry, man. Just because.
Okay.
I like Angela Bassett, too. Don't get me wrong, but Holly's got to get the start. Angela can come off the bench, and Taraji P, that's an easy cut for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. E, what say you?
I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to start Angela Bassett because you know she's damn near 90 years old and still bringing that fire.
Right.
I'm gonna bench Taraji, and Holly got to go because she's crazy. Holly was 50 years old and she had 100 husbands. Yeah, so Holly got, I mean, she looked good and all that, but I can't come home to that. No, Holly got some issues. So, yeah, she got to go.
I can deal with a little bit of crazy.
Right? I see a little bit of crazy.
They all a little crazy. She a lot crazy. You left work at 7:57. It's 8:00. Why are you late? But baby, it was 3 minutes. I work from home. No, you talking to that bitch on the other line. I know you work. No, I can't get over that.
My God.
You gotta go.
I can't, man. I can't. Good stuff there. All right. This one is a movie character, man. These are one of my three favorites, man. So I want to get you guys your thoughts. Jay, I'll stay with you on this one. We got Indiana Jones. We got James Bond. And we got Rocky Balboa.
Indiana Jones, I'll cut right off the top.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give Rocky the start. So I'll start Rocky.
Okay.
And James Bond can come off the bench, and Indiana Jones, he got to go.
Okay, all right. I thought that would be a little harder for you guys. But, E, what say you?
Question, which James Bond? Are we Timothy Dalton? Are we Sean Connery? Are we Roger Moore? Are we Daniel Craig? Who are we?
We're talking about the entire series. I don't care who it is.
Okay.
Is it James Bond?
I got you.
Is it James Bond name itself?
Okay, so I'm going to start. Adrian! I'm going to bring James off the bench, and Indiana hit Dirty Fedora got to go. Yeah, he up out of
there.
Yeah,
man. All right. I'm not mad at you, man, but that was a tough one for me. Last one is a sports one. So we're going to go the 1985 Chicago Bears, got the 1972 Miami Dolphins, and we got the 1996 Chicago Bulls. Jay, this is for you.
Look, you know I got to start the Bulls. So I'm going to start the Bulls. I'll bring the Chicago Bears off the bench. No hate on the 72 Dolphins, but look, I just think it was 72. And I don't, I mean, so I got to penalize them a little bit just because I don't know how great the competition was in 72. So give me the Bulls and the Bears, and the Dolphins got to go.
All right. E, what say you?
Yeah, I'm going the same exact order as Jay. Give me Michael and the Bulls to start. I'm going to bring Sweetness and Jim McMahon off the bench. And then Larry Zonka, who probably wouldn't even start in the league today. And they there. Larry Zonka, Brian Greasy, because Greasy got to go because I don't like his son on Monday Night Football. So, yeah, and staff, record label, and a crew. The 72 Dolphins got to go.
All right. Well, go Brian Greasy since he's been hired by the 49ers as quarterback coach. So go Brian Greasy. But another one real quick. I was hoping Manny would come on. This is for Manny, but I'm going to give it to you guys real quick. This is a superhero. I throw this in for a bonus. We got Spider-Man, Batman, and Superman. Jay, what say you?
I think I'm going to go Batman. To start, I'm going to bring Spider-Man off the bench, and I'm going to let Superman go. I'm not a huge superhero guy, man, but I think
okay,
that's
right.
What I would do. Batman, Spider-Man, cut Superman.
Okay. E, what say you?
Well, I'm going to start Superman because he's Superman. And since the category is superheroes, that means I got to bring Spider-Man off the bench. Even though throwing webs is weak, it's still a superpower. Batman got to go. Batman is not a superhero. Batman doesn't have any superpower. Batman is just a rich dude in a suit out here playing hero. There's no difference between Batman and Tony Stark. Me and my son have this argument all the time. They're both rich white boys with money. They have no superpowers at all. And I like Batman, but he's not a superhero. He's just a regular hero that can do some stuff. Nah, dog, you got to go.
Yeah, man. I have to agree with you, but it's kind of in reverse. I'm going to go Spider-Man. As I'm a star Spider-Man, I'm going to bench Superman, and I'm going to cut Batman because everything you just said, E, because they have Spider-Man and Superman have actual superpowers. Batman's just a rich guy with those great toys. The toys, like Jack Nicholson said in the original Batman or the original Batman movie.
Where does he get those wonderful
toys? Those toys, right? So yeah, I just threw that there for a bonus there, man. So great stuff. What we're going to do here, guys, we're going to grab our next break. When we come back, we're going to turn it over to E. Scott. If you're listening, call in, because of the fact of the matter is I'm putting up $25 for this one. So let's get it on. Let's get it on. So, again, guys, you are listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside E. Scott, joined by Mr. Jason Collins right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, what up, guys? Hey, I think this is the perfect category for you guys to go head up. Just true, because I think you're both probably pretty evenly matched in this one. Jay, we did a little something different with the scoring last week. We're going to do it again tonight. There's 30 of them on the board, but there are 3 daily doubles. If you pick the daily double, you can wager points. You can wager, if you don't have 5, you can wager up to 5. And if you have more than 5, you can wager however many you want. Now, keep in mind, if you get it wrong, you do lose those amount of points. So keep that in mind while wagering. K-Walk got some imaging for us this week, too. So K-Walk, if somebody picked the double double, have it ready, and I'll tell you to hit it. Now, with that being said, K-Walk, you're the champ. We're going to start with you 1 through 30. Here's what we got for you. Some of these are going to be super easy. Some of them a little more difficult. Head coaches. And we're all in the NBA. I'm going to give you a team. You tell me who's the head coach over there. K-Walk, we'll start with you, 1 through 30.
K-Walk wants to be muted.
Okay, K-Walk.
My bad. I was muted, Jay. Good point. Shout out to my aunt. Give me number 28.
Okay, Number 28, the Utah Jazz. Who's the head coach over there?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, you know what? I'm so old, man. I really thought that it was Jerry Sloan for a second.
Jerry Sloan?
No, that's my man. Oh, my goodness. What is the guy from Missouri? Quinn Snyder, final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself right. 1 point. Jay, give me a number, 1 through 30. Keep in mind, there are 3 daily levels on the board.
All right, I'll take number 1.
Number 1, the Lakers. Who's the head coach? Who's running the Lake Show?
Oh, my God. You know
oh, good,
that.
Man.
I'm picking well tonight. Point.
That's an easy one. That's Frank Vogel.
I've already given Jay the point.
All right, give it to him, okay? K-Walk, give me a number.
All right. Let me go with number. Let me go with 20. 2-0.
Number 20. The Chicago Bulls, and it's not Phil Jackson. Who the coach over there?
I know. That's Robert. I see him every night. Oh my God, what is his name? Why can't I think of his name? Jay, you don't know this, Jay. I know you don't know this.
Actually, do know it.
Oh, no, you don't. I don't know, man. I don't. His name escapes me. Hold on. One second. Florida. What is his name? Billy Donovan. Final answer. I'm sorry about that guy.
That is correct. Give yourself the point. Jay, 1 through 30.
Give me number 2.
Number 2, the Los Angeles Clippers. Who's the head coach over there?
Is it Ty Lue still? Ty Lue, final answer?
That is correct. Give yourself a point. K-Walk, so y'all haven't picked none of the difficult ones yet. K-Walk, give me number 1-30.
All right, give me number 4. Number 4.
Number 4, the Atlanta Hawks. Who's the coach over there?
What is that dude's name? I don't know. I don't know.
Because you know I know.
Yeah, I know you know it. who is the coach over there? What is that dude? I don't know, but I'm just going to guess. I can't see his face at all. I don't know. Bill Snyder, I don't know. Final answer. I know.
Jay, it rolls over to you. Who's the coach over there?
Mr. Nate McMillan. Final answer.
My God, Kevin Walker.
That is correct. Jay, your chance to take the lead because it's on you.
All right, give me number 5.
Number 5, the Denver. Who's the head coach over there?
Oh, that's tough. I can see his face, but I don't know his name. I know his last. Does the last name count, or do I have to give first and last? Because I don't want to say his last name if that's not going to count.
K-Walk, will you give him credit just for the last name, or does he need the whole name?
No, I'll give him credit for that, man. I mean, I'll give him credit.
I know the last name, but I don't know the first name. The last name is Malone, but I cannot think of that dude's first name.
K-Walk said he'd give it to you, so then you get the points. It's Michael Malone.
Yeah,
so you get the points. K-Walk, give me a number. So, Jay, I hope you extend K-Walk this same courtesy, you know. You can say, nah, you
need all that. K-Walk's nicer than me, man.
Nah, I'll give it to him, man. That's hard, because who watches the Denver Nuggets on the East Coast, really, for real? But give me number 11.
Number 11, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who's the head coach over there?
That is, his name is, that's the young kid, his father coached, I believe, Bickerstaff. Final answer?
That is correct, J.B. Bickerstaff.
Okay, all right.
Yes,
all right.
Okay, Jay, back to you.
Oh, J.B., okay, J.B.
I'll take number 3.
Number 3, the Charlotte Hornets. Who owned that coach in LaMelo Ball? Not Mike.
That's tough. And I watch Charlotte every time they're on, but I do not know who the head coach is. I don't know. Final answer.
Yeah.
K-Walk, you can get the point back.
Yes, that's James Borrego. I only know that because I'm a Heat fan and a Michael Jordan fan. That's the only reason why I know, guys.
That is correct. And now it's back on you, too. Give me a number, 1-30.
All right, let me see what we got here. Give me number – sorry, Jay. I'm going to take 21. I was going to take 8, but I'll take 21.
Number 21, the Detroit Pistons. Who's the head coach of the Detroit Pistons?
Holy boy. Who the heck is that guy? That's my man. What the heck is his last name? Dwayne? I don't know his last name, man. The short, big head, bald head dude. Dwayne. I'm just going to say Dwayne. Dwayne Casey.
If you get the first name, I'll give it to you.
Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey is correct.
I couldn't think of his last name for anything, yo.
Jay, give me a number.
All right, give me number 8.
Number 8, the New Orleans Pelicans. Who's the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans?
That's tough. Pelicans. I haven't paid much attention to them at all.
Yeah.
I do not know. Final answer.
K-Walk, do you know?
No, Ron Fikley, final answer. I don't know.
No, the head coach over there is Mr. Willie Green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would have never got that.
Yeah, me.
K-Walk, it's on you. Give me a number.
All right, give me a number. See what we have. Number 15, 1-5.
Number 1-5, the Houston Rockets. Who's the head coach of the Houston Rockets?
Yeah, that is my what the heck is his name? I don't know his first name. I know his last name. Silas.
Yep.
That is correct.
Does that work?
It's
phones.
Yeah,
okay.
Jay said he'd give it to you. Steven Silas. That is
Steven Silas.
Rockets.
Okay. All right.
Jay, give me a number.
All right, I'm looking for that daily double, man. Give me number 10.
It's three of them. Number 10, the Toronto Raptors. Who is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors?
I know this one.
You better.
Oh, boy, wears glasses. Nurse. Nick Nurse, final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself the point. K-Walk. Three data doubles, one of them calling you.
God gracious, come on now. I'm trying to channel my inner E. Scott. Give me number 13.
Number 13, the Portland Trail Blazers. Who's coaching over there?
Oh, my God. No one, from what I'm hearing.
I actually know this one.
Oh, no, I do know it. I'm just playing. That's my man, Big Shot. I'm just playing. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups.
That is correct. Jay, give me a number. Let me see what we got.
All right,
six,
give me
seven,
lucky
nine.
Seven. Give me
number
lucky
seven. Seven. Hit the image and K-Walk. Number seven, one of three daily doubles. How many do you want to wager, Jay? How many does he have, K-Walk?
How many points I got, K-Walk?
I'm counting five. Yeah, five.
Okay,
you
I'm going
to wager
three.
Up to five.
I'll wager three.
Okay, so three. Now, if you miss it, you lose three.
Yep.
And it does this, and this one doesn't roll over to K-Walk. This is yours and yours
right, only.
Memphis Grizzlies. Who's the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies for 3 points?
Wow, that's tough. Memphis, Ja Morant. Who is coaching that team? I can see his face, but I do not know his name, man. I'm going to have to take the L on this one. I don't know. Damn.
His name was Taylor Jenkins is the head coach over there.
Did you know
one,
K-Walk?
No, I did not know that one. I'm not even going to lie.
Subtract three from Jay's total, K-Walk. K-Walk, it's on you. Give me a number.
All right. Let's see. We're here. We have a board. I'm all over the place right now. Give me number 23.
Number 23, the Milwaukee Bucks. Who's the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks?
What is his name? Oh, my God, Kevin Walker. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Mike. I don't know his last name. I know his first name is Mike. I don't know his last name.
Jay, you giving him credit for Mike or no?
Hey, I just lost 3 points.
You just lost 3 points.
<You're the Mike. laughs>
Smart choice. I'm not mad at you, brother.
Okay, so it rolls over to you, JJ. Do you know the name?
The only reason I know is because he used to coach here in Atlanta, man. Mike Budenholzer.
That is correct.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny on a whole lot of levels, Jay. and it rolls over to you, Jay. And there's still two daily doubles out there. Jay, pick a number.
All right, give me number six.
Number six. The Phoenix Suns. Who's the head coach over at Phoenix?
Easy.
All right, I got me a nice easy one. That's my man, Monty Williams. Final answer.
That is correct. Give Jay the point. He's on the comeback from losing them three. K-Walk, give me a number. There's still two daily doubles out there.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to find them. Give me number 30.
Number 30, the Dallas Mavericks. Who's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks?
That's Jason Kidd, final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself the point. Jay, back to you.
25.
Number 25, K-Walk, hit the images.
Yes, sir.
Number 25. How many of you
I'm gonna wager 5 points here. There's still some T's out there that I know the head coaches, so I'm going for five here.
He's gonna put the negative.
Okay.
He's gonna go to the negative.
For 5 points, Jamal. God damn it! I just gave the
answer. Oh, he's getting the answer. Gotta get a new one. Gotta get a new one, man.
Well, I did all 30 teams.
Oh, you did all 30 teams. Uh-oh.
The Orlando Magic is the team. Who's the head coach?
Well, I appreciate the tip, E. That is Jamal Mosley. Final answer.
It sounds like you knew that one anyway, so I don't feel that bad.
I knew Mosley. I wasn't sure of his first name. I'll take it.
Oh, no, man. That was 5 points?
Yeah.
That's five big ones.
That's my bad, but I think he knew it anyway because he got them. K-Walk, we're on you.
Oh, man, you know what? Give me number nine.
Number nine, the Boston Celtics. Who's the head coach of the Celtics?
Yes, that is my man. I know this. why don't I know this guy right now? Yuka Doka. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself the point.
I don't even know what teams are left. Now I can figure out what teams are left.
Give me, I'm hunting for that last daily double, man. Give me number 14.
Number 14. Hit the imaging, K-Walk. Number 14. How many points do you want to wager? How many points does he have, K-Walk?
He has nine. We're tied.
I'm going to bet three.
Okay, for 3 points, the Sacramento Kings. Who's the head coach over there?
Goodness. I ain't even going to waste your time. I don't know. Final answer.
Subtract 3 points, K-Walk.
Yes, sir.
The correct answer was Alvin Gentry. Now, I should have knew that. All the daily doubles are now gone. K-Walk.
Okay. All right. So hopefully I get my team here. So let's go with 12. Let me see here. 12. Let me go with 12.
Number 12, Minnesota Timberwolves. Who's the head coach of the Timberwolves?
Okay. We just played them. What is his name? I can't stand him. Chris Finch, final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself the point. Jay, you said you know
16.
A bunch of these left. You need to get them.
Number
16. Oh, this is the easy one for you. Yep. San Antonio Spurs.
Greg Popovich, final answer.
That is correct. Matt K-Walk.
Give me number, let me see, 17.
17, another easy one. Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, Steve Nash, final answer.
That is correct. Jay, back to you.
I'm going to jump over to 29.
Number 29, the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, wow.
Steve Kerr, final answer.
That is correct. K-Walk.
Give me number 18.
Number 18. The New York Knickerbockers.
That's Tom Thibodeau, final answer.
That is correct. Jay, we on you.
I'm going to go 22.
22, oh, my guy. The Indiana Pacers.
Oh,
And that's a team I don't pay a lot of attention to, but their coach is a pretty well-known guy. That's Carlisle, Rick Carlisle.
That is correct. K-Walk.
Mm-hmm. Give me number 24.
Number 24. Give yourself the point. Let's keep it moving. Yeah. Jay, number 24 is 24 is Miami Heat.
Eric Spoelstra, final answer.
Give me 26.
Yeah, did you give yourself the point, K-Walk, for Miami?
Of course I did. Yes, I did,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. 26. Jay, the Washington Wizards.
Ooh. I don't think I know that one. Wizards, Wizards, Wizards.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Jay. Jay, you know this one. Come on now.
I don't think I've watched the Wizards one time this year, man. I got to say, I don't know. Final answer.
Oh, his father coached. Huh? I mean, his father coached.
It rolls over to you, K-Walk.
That's Mr. Wes Unseld Jr.
That is correct. That is correct. And now it's on you.
All right. We got, well, we got the 27, right? 27 is the last one, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at. No, we got 19 and 27.
Oh, give me 27. I didn't see 19. Okay, 27.
Number 27, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, I don't think I knew this one. Thunder. Who? I don't even know. I have no idea. Russell Westbrook, final answer. I don't know.
Jay, rolls over to you. Oklahoma City Thunder.
Nah, I don't know.
Mark Dignall. That's the head coach over there. And the very last one, number 19 is yours, Jay. Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know I got to know that. Sixers. Who is it? Let me just think for a minute here.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, that's my man. Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers.
That is correct. K-Walk, can I get a final tally?
Yeah, it was hold on a second. Let me read it here.
I know I came up short.
I have 14. Jay has 5, 6, 10. 14 to 10.
Hey, cue the music.
Yes, sir.
Medals round my neck because I won. Now my mama dead because I won. Out here making bad, do what I want. Get you with the phone, I get what I want. Get paid in the one on one.
So, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed it tonight. So, Jay, it looks like the Daily Double, both a blessing and a curse, because you got all three Daily Doubles, but you came up a little short, because I tried to make the Daily Doubles a little more difficult, even though I accidentally walked you into one of them.
Yeah, they hurt me tonight, but that was a good one, man. That was a good one.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that one, too.
K-Walk came up victorious, so he keeps to keep that crisp $25 in his pocket. So I know there was some other stuff you wanted to get to, K-Walk. Looks like we got about 10 or so minutes left, so go ahead and wrap it up and bring us on home.
Yes, sir, man. Good stuff there. Jay, good stuff. Yeah, that I'm looking at the points, Jay, and that did cost you about 8 points. It cost you 8 points, and that would have been the difference if you just held on to those 8 points.
Man.
Yeah, I'm just doing the math here. But great stuff. But nonetheless, I wanna stay on the I wanna talk March Madness with you guys real quick. And I want to get your thoughts. I know it's a little early right now, and this is subject to change, okay, because obviously March Madness starts tomorrow. Let's scratch that. Let's hold that up to next week. Let's talk about the Sixers and the Lakers. We'll start with the Sixers here. E, what say you about the Sixers right now? Are you sold on this team right now, E? Because it seems like James Harden has not been that James Harden that we saw in the first three games. They lost the other night, and James Harden seems to be tapping out, and he seems to be deferring a little bit more to Joel Embiid. Give me your thoughts on the Sixers, and how much confidence do you have in them as far as, coming out of the East?
I think they'll contend depending on the seeding that they go in, but I don't think a healthy 76ers team can beat a healthy Brooklyn. I don't think they can beat a healthy Miami. And then also, you know, don't count out the defending champs from last year. I think the 76ers, they kept Ben Simmons, you know, much too long. I know they really couldn't move him to the trade deadline, but I think, you know, they invested too much of the season in him. And even though James Harden provided a spark when he got back, like Vinny Microwave Johnson from the Celtics back in the day, the spark seemed to kind of, you know, flamed out, if you will. And I don't know if, you know, they're going to be able to get it done over there. So I'm thinking, like, maybe this year's not their year. Maybe next year they'll come a little stronger.
Okay, great points there. I love those points, man. Jay, what say you about the Sixers?
Yeah, K-Walk, you know I'm not sold, man. I don't believe in James Harden in the playoffs. I just don't. I know he's a terrific player, but for me, he just hasn't gotten it done. He's had several opportunities, and he always comes up short. And I just think in the playoffs, when the game slows down and defense ramps up, I don't like the Sixers. I just think there's so many good teams in the East that I don't see them getting out of the East.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And just I just got an update here, man. My man Raheem Mostert, the running back from the 49ers, just signed a one-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. So the Miami Dolphins are looking to make a run right now. But I'm not too mad at that with that because I figured as much that they would do that. But, yeah, I definitely agree with that, man. I mean, the Sixers, for sure, it just seems like Jay, I was watching this game the other night, and I was watching this game the other night, and it seemed like he just shies away from that. And he was so deferring to Joel Embiid. I don't know what it is about the limelight, man. He just seems to fade away from that, man. So with all that being said, I'm going to say that, you know, I don't believe in the 76ers right now because of James Harden, and they rely on Joel Embiid. And one of the things that I've noticed is that they actually give the ball to Joel Embiid too much to bring it up on the court. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, they rely too much on Joel Embiid, and I just don't think that's you can go that route. So I'm definitely going to say that, you know, maybe they'll get out of the first round. Got to see the matchups, of course. But I'm not confident in the 76, especially if James Harden continues to play that continue to play the way that he's been playing. The second team,
yeah,
I want to talk about.
He likes the wrong kind of limelight, man. Did you see the video of him partying with Meek Mill and those boys after the Nets blew their doors off last week? Like, that was a bad look, you know. So
he
just has to get it together, man.
Yeah, Jay. I just think at this part of his career, I don't think he will get it together, to be honest with you. I just think we're going to see who he is. And, you know, and if this is who he is, and, you know, good luck, Sixers. That's all I can say, for sure. The second team I want to talk about is the Lakers. The Lakers right now, they're in the ninth spot here. I'll stay with you on this one, Jay. They're in a ninth spot here. It looks like they should be able to hold on to that ninth, maybe tenth spot. You know, Portland's about 2.5 games out right now. But how much confidence do you have in the Lakers in not only just, you know, getting in that play-in game, but also winning that play-in game if they are able to get into that play-in game?
Look, I actually think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I know they're going to have to go through the play-in, but I just think if you got LeBron and supposedly street clothes is coming back, so if you got those two guys in a play-in game, I think you're going to beat whoever it is that you match up with. Now, after that, look, if they have to play Phoenix in the first round, forget about it. I don't see them winning that series. But I think as long as you have a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD on the floor – you got to give them a puncher's chance. I mean, you just do. So I think they're going to get in, but I don't think they're going to make much noise once they get there.
Okay. E, what say you about the Lakers?
Well, like Jay said, if street clothes comes back, they stand a chance. Because if you look at it right now, LeBron is playing excellent basketball. LeBron is doing really all he can. It's just that, you know, Westbrook out there running and gunning and doing whatever it is he wants to do. So without street clothes, no. But with street clothes, yeah, they got a puncher's chance.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Last thing, man, I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, just your teams. We got about a little over two minutes here. I just want to ask you guys, what teams are you looking at for both men's and women's side to make some noise? I'm not actually giving you predictions or anything like that, but to make some noise, not to necessarily win it in the March Madness. Let's start with the women's. E, what say you about a team that you have your eyes on to make some serious noise in the March Madness for the women's?
With the women, it usually boils down to the same few teams. So I'm going to go Connecticut. I'm going to go South Carolina. And, well, I'm just going to go with those two, either UConn or South Carolina, because Tennessee is not what they used to be back in the day. And I'm not really sure how the Duke females are doing. They used to do pretty good. But I'm going to say I got my own South Carolina and UConn.
Okay, good stuff. And men's for you, what teams are you looking at in the men's?
With the men's, I like Gonzaga because they're playing well, but who knows how they'll do when, you know, the dance actually starts. So I'm gonna say Gonzaga, and don't count Duke out. I mean, I know Coach K lost his last game at home at Cameron Indoor to Carolina, but, yeah, look for them, you know, to send him out with a bang. So I'm going to watch Gonzaga and Duke.
Okay, good stuff there. Jay, what say you about the women's and the men's Final Four? I don't want you to give your prediction as far as who you think is going to win, but a team that you're looking for that, you know, not necessarily that we have our eyes on, maybe on the outside looking in from our standpoint.
Yeah, no, I agree with E. Like, South Carolina will be there. You know, Connecticut's got a really good team. The defending champ, Stanford, they brought everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in it till the end. But if you want a fun team to watch that – you know, might have a chance if some things go their way, you got to watch the Iowa Lady Hawkeyes.
Man. Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, this girl is phenomenal.
Ooh.
So if you just want to watch some fun basketball, watch Iowa. And then as far as the men go, man, like, I agree with E again. Like, don't count Duke out. Like, they can put five dudes on the floor that are athletic and talented and can absolutely play. So if they have their A game, they're going to be hard to beat. I like Kentucky, too, man. Like, Kentucky's got a nice little squad, too. Of course, Gonzaga, you don't want to count them out. But the thing that always concerns me about them is I just don't know how battle-tested they are. Like, I don't know how tough their schedule is throughout the course of the year. So I'm always a little hesitant to jump all in with Gonzaga. But, look, I like Duke. I like Kentucky. And not that I'm all over Iowa, but Iowa's men's team is sneaky good as well, man. So you got to keep your eye on them, too.
Jay, it's so scary that you said that because those are the two teams that I'm going with as far as the men's and women's. I'm going both with men's and women's Iowa teams. I mean, you mentioned Caitlin. She's the female version of Steph Curry. You got the Iowa men's as well. So I'm looking for those teams to make some serious noise in the tournament. So look out for both Iowa men's and women's Hawkeyes, man, so for sure. It started tomorrow, 12:00. So get your popcorn ready, get your apps ready. However you're going to watch the games tomorrow, for sure. So March Madness starts tomorrow. So great stuff, man. Great stuff here for E. Scott. I am Kay Walk, and Jake, thank you so much, Jason Collins, for joining us as well. You can catch us on Fridays as well. We talk the shoot around. We're talking basketball. You know, we're going to talk March Madness. I always want to leave you guys with something. Tonight I'm going to leave you with this. You got to train your mind to be stronger than your emotions, or else you lose yourself every time. So, again, with E. Scott, I am Kay Walk alongside Mr. Jason Collins right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. God willing, we'll talk to you next week.
Everybody get up. Woo!
different animals. Baby, it's in your nature. Just let me liberate you. You don't need no pain. That man is not your man. And that's why I'm a good girl. I know you never had it so good. Sports Radio.